glance, I couldn't quite read, and then it was gone.
What are we doing?
He asked.
Picking out summer homes?
Picking a good place for an ambush, I said. The Sultan was sending Rahim's transport across the city with human guards and Abdals alike. We weren't worried about the mortal soldiers. Hala could take care of them, and if she couldn't, bullets could. The Abdals were a different story. We needed Layla. She was messy with sleep when she was brought before us in chains, but her eyes were wide and awake and frightened. Even though she wasn't so much younger than us, she looked like a child standing across from Shahzad. Layla. My friend leaned on the desk. Think very hard about the answer you are going to give me before you speak. Is there a way to stop the Abdals? Any way you can think of? Layla's eyes darted around the room nervously, between me and Amin and the men who were her flesh and blood without being her true brothers. I'm not sure, she whispered. I don't want anyone else to get hurt if I'm wrong. Her voice was thick with unshed tears. I resisted the urge to comfort her. There'd be someone to feel sorry for her if we rescued Rahim. Until then, she was going to have to grow up. This is your brother's life at stake, Layla, I said. He would have done anything to save you. The least you can do is try to save him. She chewed nervously on her lip. I couldn't tell if she was looking for an answer or if she already knew it and was deciding whether to tell us. You could try destroying the word.
The word?
Ahmed asked. The one that gives them life. It channels the jinn's fire into their spark. I put it inside their feet. Layla shifted nervously. It was the hardest place for anyone to do them damage, he said. They look like people, so folk will naturally aim for their heads or their hearts. Who would think to aim for a foot?
That's smart, Shahzad admitted.
And very inconvenient for us. Do you think they could be fooled by an illusion? I asked. Not like Hala climbing into their heads, like a veil. Like one of Delilah's illusions. But I didn't mention her by name. It would be an argument to take Delilah with us if the answer was yes, and that was not an argument we'd be having in front of Layla. They might, she admitted. Do you have someone here who can cast illusions like that?
Thank you, Layla. Ahmed's voice carried dismissal. You've been very helpful.
Ahmed looked at me as Layla was led back away, steeling himself.
I was ready for a fight.
You can't protect her forever, Ahmed. We need Delilah.
I know.
He held up a hand to stop me.
I know I can't protect her forever. So I will count on you two to do it.
Ahmed rubbed his hand tiredly across his face.
Get some rest before you go save my brother.
Sam hung back with me as the others made their way to their beds, even as the sun made its way into the sky. Jin cast a look back for me, but I waved him on.
I found your aunt, Sam said when we were out of earshot of the others. She is in a very fine set of rooms above a gold merchant's, living beyond the means of a simple medicine trader by all accounts. It made her easy to find.
She was living off the gold she'd traded me for. It was a sort of poetic justice that it had allowed Sam to find her. Fine, I shook my head. It was heavy with sleep and too many plans, too many things that could go wrong in rescuing Rahim. We can go in a few days and...
If you do that, you'll be finding an empty house, Sam said, interrupting me. She's packing up her life and leaving the city tomorrow. A lot of people are. Too much unrest in the city. And now the curfew. Cities are never a good place to be in times of war.
Of course. It sounded too much like good luck to be true.
So we'd have to go tonight to have a stab at getting her to cut the iron out of me. I would need more than Sam's help for that. And you're coming to me?
The circles of exhaustion under Hala's eyes made the skin there look a deeper shade of gold.
Me instead of your darling Shazad or your beloved Jin? They don't know how to crawl inside someone's head like you do. It was on the tip of my tongue. But she wasn't wrong. Shazad or Jin and a few well-placed threats could probably get me the same thing. That wasn't the real reason I was here. We were both Demji, and we owed each other the truth.
They're human, I said.
They would fight beside me. We would die for each other. But no matter what, they would never understand this the same way Hala did. To have a part of myself trapped away, that someone had hurt me because of what I was, that I wanted to hurt her back. The story around camp is that your mother sold you in marriage to the man who took your fingers.
Hala's face changed at once.
Do you know what our mothers get? She replied as I watched the motion of her golden fingers through her inky hair.
Along with us, from our fathers.
A wish, I said, remembering my conversation with Shira in prison. Do you know what your mother wished for?
No, I admitted. I supposed I ought to ask my father if we ever succeeded at getting me back into the palace.
Mine wished for gold, Hala said. It was such a stupid, simple wish. The one that every peasant and tinker and beggar made in stories. I didn't press her. I just waited. She had this look like she wanted to tell me, her golden lips parted slightly. If I didn't push, she would.
My mother had grown up poor, and she wished to be rich, she said finally.
And maybe she meant it well. Maybe she found out she was going to have a child and wished for wealth to be able to raise me in comfort instead of in the gutter where she'd grown up. That's the lie I used to tell myself when I was little. But I could never say it out loud.
Her smile was bitter.
And then the money ran out, and what she had left was me, her golden daughter.
She leaned back, and the light in the opening of the tent made her skin flash. She was one of the only people bothering with a tent. It occurred to me she might be hiding, the golden daughter of a woman who loved gold too much. We'd both been traded in for gold in our own way.
I'll help you.
I found Jin shaving inside the house, in a small room set off from the study. For the long nights when the general didn't get to his bed, I guessed. A beaten brass basin was half filled with water underneath a cracked mirror. It was just a little bit too low for him so that he had to stoop over. His shirt was flung over the door handle. From behind him, I could see the way the muscles on his bare shoulders bunched, moving the compass tattooed on the other side of his heart. There was a new tattoo on the opposite shoulder, a series of small black dots across his skin, like a burst of sand. As he straightened, he spotted me in the reflection, leaning in the doorway, watching him.
That one's new.
The room was small enough that I only had to take one step to be close enough to touch it.
I got it done while I was with the Xichian army.
His skin was hot under my hand as my fingers danced across the dots, one at a time.
I was thinking about this girl I knew.
He turned around quickly, catching my hand. He smelled of mint mostly, but there was an undercurrent of desert dust and gunpowder when he kissed me that made me desperately homesick. That made it harder to speak what I had to say next. Jin, I'm going to tell you something, I said, pulling away. And I don't want you to ask me any questions about it. I just want you to trust me. Tonight, there's something I've got to do before we rescue Rahim. And I need Sam and Hala for it. And I don't want to tell you what it is in case it doesn't work.
I hate everything about this already.
Jin wiped a stray streak of water off his jaw with the back of his hand. I had a feeling you might. But I've got to tell someone, and Shahzad is more likely to try to stop me. And she needs to get to the ambush point. You both do. We can't chance this falling apart on my account.
One way to be sure of that is for you to just come with us.
Jin toyed with the ends of my shortened hair, considering me carefully, trying to read me. But for this, I was determined not to let anything show. Get to the intersection.
I stood my ground.
Wait for us there. If everything goes right, we can still get there in time to intercept Rahim.
Is that a promise?
I knew when Jin was saying yes without really saying it. I had him on my side. Jean's daughters shouldn't make promises. I pushed myself up, reaching for a shadow near his ear where the razor had missed, close enough to him to feel his heartbeat. It usually doesn't end well. Jin turned his head instead, catching me off guard with a kiss, fast and sure. He broke it off quickly, but he didn't pull away. He just smiled against my mouth.
Then this had better not be the end, Bandit.
Chapter 45. The rooms my aunt kept above the gold merchants were cluttered with chests, half-packed, some of them stuffed to overflowing. When Sam walked us through the wall, I smacked my shin into one of them and barely kept in the string of curses that sprang to my tongue. We picked our way through the mess carefully, silks and muslins spilling out of a trunk brushed against my leg like clinging cloth fingers. A rope of pearls was wound carelessly on top of another chest. So this was what selling someone out to the Sultan bought you. And in the middle of it all, sprawled across a bed, slept my aunt.
Ready?
Hala whispered.
I nodded because I wasn't sure I'd be able to answer truthfully.
Hala didn't deign to wave her hands over my aunt's body like the street performers did. There was no sign that she was doing anything at all, except a slight crease of concentration on her forehead. My aunt came awake with a violent gasp as Hala seized control of her mind. For a second, she looked around, wild-eyed. Then she saw me, and her gaze focused in recognition. Zahia, she gasped out. I watched her fight it for a moment, the line between reality and dream, between the knowledge that her sister was dead and what she was seeing standing in front of her. It took only a few blinks before the illusion won. Sophia, I sat on the edge of her bed. I need your help. I rested my hand next to hers on the cover. I couldn't quite bring myself to clasp it in pleading. But Sophia did it for me. She laced her fingers with mine and pulled my hand to her lips. Of course. There were tears in her eyes now. For you, I would flood the desert. She paused expectantly, looking at me. And I realized it was one half of a saying, something that had passed between Sophia and my mother, some secret bond between sisters.
Only it wasn't a secret. I knew it. My mother had said it to me before. But there was no way I could say it to Sophia. I thought of Shahzad, my sister in arms. We had recognized something in each other the first time we met, and we were tied by more than blood. I would probably want to destroy anyone who stole her life, too, the way I had my mother's. For my sister. I willed the words off my tongue. I would set the sea on fire. The rest was like walking my aunt through a dream world. She led me into her kitchen. It was a small room crowded with hanging spices, as well as jars and jars of things that belonged in an apothecary. She cleared the kitchen table, talking the whole while. Snippets of conversation meant for my mother, which I barely understood. It was 18 years of all the pent-up things she wanted to talk to her sister about while there'd been a desert between them. All the secret private jokes between sisters in a life before this one. The language of two women I'd never really known. "You need to strip," she told me. As one, Hala and I turned to look at Sam meaningfully. He held up his hands like we had him at gunpoint. "I'll, keep watch," he said, backing through the wall. I stripped and lay down on my aunt's table. She plucked a tiny knife out of the pile and started cleaning it. I'd been stabbed and shot and beaten and plenty of other things in my life, but I still didn't love the look of this knife. With a roll of her eyes, Hala slipped her hand into mine as my aunt stepped forward, swiping a piece of fabric, wet with something that made my skin tingle, across the spot where the first shard of metal was embedded. The tiny knife pressed into my arm. I felt the needle of pain shoot through me. I tensed instinctively, squeezing my eyes shut. But the feeling of my skin breaking never came. And then the hard table below me was gone. I moved my fingers and found soft sand beneath my skin. I opened my eyes. I was staring up at stars, desert stars, the way they blazed in the open nothingness against the dark, the last burning light of the desert. This was an illusion. I knew that because I knew Hala. And I knew I was lying on a kitchen table with a knife cutting metal out of my arm and being stitched back up by my aunt. But knowing the stars above me weren't real didn't matter. Same as realizing you were in a dream didn't help you wake up. I didn't fight it, this unexpected kindness of Hala stealing away the pain from my mind. Instead, I stretched my fingers out across the sand, reveling in the feeling of it against my skin, even if it was all in my head. The illusion Hala had woven in my mind shattered. The desert and the stars were gone, and the kitchen was back. Pain across my body woke up. I hissed, and quickly Hala grabbed my mind again, and the pain faded as she pulled it out of my head. I must have been under the illusion for a good long while, because there were 12 tiny pieces of iron lying in a glass dish next to the table. There was a tiny symbol printed into each of them. The Sultan's seal. I got angry all over again. That was so like him. He could have just shoved iron under my skin from a scrap pile, but these pieces had been specially made. The last one. I felt my aunt's fingers exploring my skin. I felt the slight pressure on my stomach, just above my hip, a hand's breadth away from my navel. Her dreamlike expression looked worried now. "It was so near your stomach, Zahia," she said to me. "There were scars here already, like an old healed wound." She frowned, like she was struggling to remember what had hurt her sister. But I knew what it was. That was where Rahim had shot me, where the wound had healed over a long, torturous month. The scar tissue makes it almost impossible to remove it all without making it worse, Sophia was saying now. I'm worried I've made it worse. I pushed myself up, ignoring the returning pain of the smattering of 12 tiny wounds across my skin. This might be the city, but it was still desert land. There was desert dust everywhere. I pulled on it. A stabbing pain tore through my side as I did, right where my old scar was, blinding for a moment. But sure enough, I felt the ground shift, 1,000 tiny grains of sand rushing towards my fingers. I felt the rush of using my power through the pain. It would have to do. I released the sand and the pain receded. We need to go. Hold on. Paula stopped me as I started to get dressed. What do you want me to do with her? She meant my aunt. Do you want me to tear her mind apart? Like Hala had done to her mother who had sold her, who had used her daughter so selfishly. I wanted to hurt her. Ahmed would tell me that an eye for an eye would make the whole world blind. Shahzad would tell me that was why you had to stab people through both eyes the first time around. Did it make you feel better? I asked. It wasn't an accusation. It was a real question. I wanted to know. I wanted to know if hurting my aunt like she'd hurt me would take away this anger rotting in my chest. When you tore your mother's mind apart, did it help? Hala turned away from my aunt first. We need to go. Chapter 46. Moving through the streets of Isman after dark wasn't exactly easy. Not with the Abdals, and not with my skin rebelling with pain in every step. Without Hala in my mind, the kingdom of cuts on my body screamed in pain. But speed was essential. We rounded a corner and moonlight bounced off metal and clay. Hala grabbed my arm, shoving me between two houses into the shadows. We didn't dare move. The Abdal passed by the mouth of the alley, close enough that I could have reached out and touched it. And then the sound of steps again, closer, coming from the other end of the street, working their way towards us, petting us in. Sam didn't hesitate, grabbing my hand and Hala's. Hold your breath. Or get dead very fast. I just had time to suck in a lungful of air before he dragged us both backwards through the wall. We stumbled into a small kitchen. I could hear the rushing of my own heartbeat in time with the steps outside, slowing as they passed. We waited a solid few breaths until Sam dragged us back out. We reached the intersection where we were due to meet with seconds to spare. A rope ladder dangled from the rooftop as promised. I started to climb as Hala and Sam slipped into a side alley. Jin reached a hand down for me, clasping my arm as he pulled me up the last few feet on top of the roof. A hiss of pain escaped through my teeth as his thumb hit one of my wounds. Is there a reason you keep coming back injured when I leave you for 5 seconds? Or is it... His voice carried too loud, and I clapped a hand over his mouth, shutting him up. Don't flatter yourself, I said quietly. I'm always getting injured when you're around, too. I was raw inside and out. I didn't feel like explaining my encounter with my aunt just then. I pressed a finger to my lips. When he nodded, I slowly peeled my hand away. We flattened ourselves on the edge of the roof. Jin handed me the rifle a second before the Abdal appeared around the corner. Its steps echoed around the empty streets, accompanied by the rattle of the wheels of the prison wagon that followed behind, and a dozen more boots, on human feet this time. A word carved into metal, powering the Abdal like a heart in the right heel, somewhere no one would ever have the instinct to hit. We didn't need instinct. We had insider information. Another step. Two more. I took a deep breath. I squinted against the dark, trying to track the glint of metal in the moonlight. Somewhere high above, a curtain twitched, then fell shut, casting the street back into shadows almost as quickly as it had illuminated it. But it was enough. I pulled the trigger. It was a perfect shot. It clipped the edge of the bronze heel guard, bending it at an angle. I almost laughed. Thank God for soft metal. The men surrounding the carriage were pulling out weapons already, looking for the threat. But that wasn't my problem. Jin's gun went off next to me, even as Shahzad stepped through Delilah's veil of illusion, appearing like an avenging spirit below, blades drawn. I took a second shot. It went through soft clay flesh. And a third, and I saw it, the shine of metal under the clay skin. Somewhere inside there was a word, giving the thing life. A soldier turned a gun toward me and fell. And for a moment it was like old times, like the days before Ilyaz, the three of us against the world. The simplicity of rebellion, where every little victory could win a war. My next bullet hit hard. When mortal things died, they fell. They fell like the soldiers littering the streets under our gunfire. But the Abdal didn't. It stopped. Just stopped as abruptly as I would have when the Sultan gave me an order. And the streets were still again. I clambered down after Jin. The Abdal stood unnervingly frozen. I'd seen enough of Layla's little inventions close up to know this one was different. It was as much a creation of a genie as I was. The lock at the back of the carriage splintered under another gunshot, taking my focus with it. I joined Shahzad and Jin at the back of the wagon as the door swung open. Rahim was bound and gagged, a sack pulled over his head. I held up a hand, stopping Jin and Shahzad. Rahim had rescued me once. I owed him the same. The wagon rocked gently under my weight as I entered. I pulled the bag off Rahim's head. He jerked like he was ready to fight, arms bound and all. He stopped when he saw me, holding still long enough to let me pull the gag from his mouth. "What's happening?" he rasped. "This is a rescue," Shahzad said from behind me, framed in the doorway, one arm braced against the roof of the carriage. "Obviously." "You got us an army," Jin added as I sliced the ropes around his arms free. "Now how do you feel about leading it?" Rahim glanced over his shoulder uncertainly between us. The impossibly beautiful general, a half-Sichian prince he didn't yet know was his brother, an imposter blue-eyed bandit, a demji with purple hair dyed black toying nervously with an illusion of a flower, another doing nothing to hide the gold of her skin. I didn't have to imagine what he was thinking. I'd been in his place 8 months ago. His gaze finally landed back on me. "Welcome to the rebellion," I said. "You get used to it." We moved as quickly as we could back through the darkened and deserted streets of Isman. The Abdals patrolling the streets in a steady, checkerboard rhythm might not be called by the commotion, but that didn't mean we were going to make ourselves a moving target. We caught Rahim up in interrupted whispers as we worked our way back towards Shahzad's home. We told him that Layla was safe, that we were going to take the army from Lord Bilal by force, that he was going to help us do it. Rahim didn't even blink. Maybe rebellion ran in the blood of the Sultan's sons. Maybe it ought to be called treason. Whatever it was, we were going to use it to take the throne. Shahzad's house was quiet when we pushed through the kitchen door. It was late, I supposed, but still something about the quiet needled at me. The tension of returning from a mission was missing. Ahmed waiting to make sure we were all coming home alive, waiting for his sister. Emin waiting for Hala. My senses had reached a fever pitch by the time we were climbing the stairs at the end of the tunnel into the garden. I was on the last step when my boot hit something that rolled away with a familiar ping. A bullet. It skittered into the silent garden and then vanished. A feeling of wrongness hit me a fraction of a second too late. I heard the click of two machine cogs slotting together. The whir of metal pieces working, spinning faster and faster, and then snicking into place. That was the only warning I had before the illusion disappeared. Chaos bloomed as the serene front dropped away. Bodies littered the ground, rebels mostly, only one or two men in uniform, weapons still in hand. The corpses sprawled across shattered tents, staining the ground red. Survivors were shoved back against the walls, bound by their hands. They were on their knees with soldiers gathered around them. Ahmed, Emin, Iz and Maz, Navid, Tamid. All still alive, at least. And facing us was a whole host of Abdals. They had created the illusion, I realized. They didn't just have Norsham's power to destroy. They were as powerful as Demji. And leading them... Yes, Amani. The Sultan smiled Jin's smile at me. The one that meant trouble. Like he could read my mind. Out of the chaos around him, our bound and dead rebels, one figure emerged. Layla, unbound and unafraid. She was wearing a jacket that looked like it belonged to the Sultan over the same clothes she had been wearing since Aurangzeb. That trapped animal look in her eyes was gone. She wore a satisfied smirk instead as her father spoke. It was a trap. Chapter 47. I pulled out my gun, already knowing it was too late. Two dozen guns clattered to attention, ready to shoot us if they had to. Shahzad and Jin had weapons drawn, spoiling for a fight. They would die. They both would. I could see it now. We were all trapped. Me, Jin, Shahzad, Rahim, Delilah, Hala, and... I looked around for Sam. He was gone. Nowhere to be seen. We were surrounded. We were outnumbered. But that wasn't going to stop them from going down fighting. Stand down, Ahmed ordered from where he was kneeling. Everyone stand down. Weapons down. I could see Shahzad struggling with every fiber of her being against the order as Jin's hand opened and closed on the gun in the corner of my vision. But my attention belonged to the Sultan. His eyes were locked on me. I could almost hear him, that weighted, reasonable voice that made me feel like we were all just children acting out. You know how this ends if you fight, Amani. Do as he says, I said. Weapons down. I tossed my gun to the ground. The iron left my skin with a sigh of relief. Finally, Shazad's swords clattered to the ground noisily. Jin's gun followed. I was unarmed, but I wasn't helpless. The Sultan might have choreographed this, but there was something he wasn't expecting. Somewhere at the very edge of my awareness, beyond the city walls, I reached for the desert.
Very wise.
The Sultan nodded to Ahmed, tied and trapped.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me how ironic the world can be. That the son who is most like me is the only one who wants to denounce me. Well, that's just not true.
Rahim stepped between me and his father. I used the shield of his body to shift my hands a tiny bit. I tried to pull without my arms, without any sweeping movements. I pulled from deep down in my gut, the part of me that had kept me alive against all odds until now. It came with a shooting pain in my old wound.
I'd denounce you in a second, father.
Far away, the desert surged up in answer. That's why you're on that side of father's guns, and I'm on this one. Layla finally spoke. Her shy, lilting voice, which had always sounded sweet, took on a different tone now as it bounced around the walls of the garden. Gone were the wide, tear-filled eyes. I'm the one who didn't betray my family. Her brother met her gaze across the courtyard.
You were my family, he said softly.
I was trying to save you. After I found you were as talented as mother with machines, I knew our father would try to use you the same way he did her. That destroyed her, Layla.
I didn't need saving. She tugged the jacket closer around herself against the night air. I took care of myself from the day you left me among those women and their plots. I learned to survive, to make myself useful.
She had said that to me once in the harem, as Muna and Uzma and Ayet disappeared one after the other. If you weren't useful, you were liable to vanish, invisible. And who was more invisible than a princess alone in the harem?
So invisible, I hadn't even considered that Ayet had disappeared after I'd told Layla that she'd caught me and Sam in the Weeping Wall Garden. That Uzma and Muna had gone missing after the incident with the suicide pepper and humiliating me in court. So invisible, it hadn't crossed anyone's mind that she'd witnessed their nastiness too. That it had been her idea to select them to put into the machine, not the Sultan's.
You were gone and I was here, finishing what Mother started.
Layla's smile was as sweet as ever, and she aimed it at Rahim like a weapon.
She would have wanted that. It was the Gallen she hated, not our father.
You lied to me, I said. And I hadn't spotted it because she was a big-eyed, shy girl with a sweet face.
Demji are always the easiest to lie to. Your kind never expects it,
the Sultan said.
What good daughter wouldn't obey the word of her father?
He made a motion, like he was pulling back a bowstring and loosing it. I was holding an entire sandstorm in my mind on the edge of the city, dragging it forward over walls and rooftops. I felt it stagger as something punched through my heart. The horrible, humiliating memory of wanting to impress him, of wanting to please him, of doubting Ahmed for him.
Little blue-eyed bandit, so very trusting, over and over.
I flinched at the nickname as he started towards me. Jin shifted angrily at the edge of my vision. But he knew better than to try anything as his father drew closer.
Oh yes, Amani,
I knew from the moment I saw your little blue eyes.
All those desperate attempts to hide it from the Sultan, to keep Ahmed from coming up so that the truth wouldn't slip past my traitorous tongue. And he'd been letting me get away with it, letting me dance around the subject, because he already knew I was allied with Ahmed. The Sultan chucked me under the chin gently as he reached me.
I could have made you tell me what you knew, but that wouldn't have gotten me to Ahmed. It was a great deal easier to use you to feed fake information to your prince. Once Layla told me Rahim was a traitor, I could use him to pass information to you.
I caught a flash of movement behind the Sultan, a figure in the shadows. I looked back at the Sultan quick as I could, trying not to betray what I'd seen. I tightened my fist, keeping my grip on the desert. He turned away.
I have to say, I rather enjoyed watching you scramble around, putting out fires, never noticing the others I wanted you to look away from. While you were looking at Saramotai, I was taking back Fahali. While you were saving traitors from the gallows, I had men arresting dissenters in their own homes. And while you were running around trying to save my traitor son, I was emptying your traitor camp and arresting my other traitor son.
He dropped one hand on Layla's shoulder.
She's done a great deal of good work. How did you think we found you in your little valley hideaway?
He held something up. It was a compass, just like the ones Jin and Ahmed had, only smaller. They'd told me once, I remembered, that those were of Gamenix's make. Layla's mother was a Gamenix's engineer.
We hid one of these on your spy before we released her to be rescued.
Saida, she was a trap too. And when I found out from Rahim you were planning to escape, Layla bounced, excited. Do you want to see? It was that same light in her face that I'd seen when she was showing some new toy to the children in the harem. She turned, gesturing to the soldiers. Two of them dragged Tamid away from the wall. He struggled to keep up with them on his fake leg. I took a step forward, and this time it was Jin who caught me, pulling me back. They forced Tamid to the ground, sitting with his bronze legs splayed out in front of him. Layla unfastened it with practiced ease. She had made it, after all. Proudly, she turned the detached leg toward me. Perfectly fitted in the hollow bronze of Tamid's calf was a compass. I fitted it after I convinced you Tamid should come with us, and he was none the wiser that I was using him to help bring my father to your camp. This was my fault. I had led them to us. I had saved Tamid. I hadn't left him behind, and I was still being punished. I pulled one last violent yank on my Demji powers, and then the sky darkened. The sandstorm was on us. The Sultan's head shot up as the shadow fell across us. The raging cloud of sand had rushed in to crown the garden. I raised my hands, taking full grip of it. There was no point in pretending now. I poured everything I had into the sand, all my anger, all my defiance, all my desperation. I whipped the storm into a frenzy before slamming my arms down, pulling the full force of the desert around us. I looked for the Sultan. He was watching me. The last thing I saw was him smiling at me the same way he had that first day in the war room over the dead duck, like he was proud. Then the sandstorm swallowed us. Amani! Jazad's voice shouted some order to me that was swallowed in the chaos. I turned to face her just in time to see an Abdal rising up behind her, raised hand glowing red.
I swung my arm. I felt something tear in my side where my wound had been as the sand turned into a blade and crashed through the Abdal's leg, cutting into clay flesh and metal bone and severing it, sending the thing toppling to the ground. "Watch your back!" I shouted at her. I didn't need orders for once. I knew what I was fighting for. I knew who I was fighting. I knew what I needed to do. We needed the rest of the Demji, and we needed them out. I couldn't leave any Demji in the Sultan's hands. I couldn't let him do the same thing to them that he'd done to me. I slammed my arms down, severing the iron around Iz, then Maz. The twins burst into motion, flesh turning to feathers, fingers to talons as they plunged into the air, then back down. Delilah was running for Ahmed as I freed him, and then Amin, who staggered forward towards Navid. A bullet caught Hala in the leg. She screamed, staggering forward. She would have hit the ground, except Sam was there. He grabbed her, arms under her legs, and the two of them vanished through a wall. I turned my attention elsewhere. I'd lost Ahmed in the chaos. We weren't winning, but we didn't have to. We just had to get as many people out as we could. I grabbed a fistful of sand and twisted hard. A stab of violent pain answered in my stomach, and then it was gone. The sand staggered, then dropped. And just like that, our cover was gone. The pain in my side doubled as I tried to grab hold of the sand again, and suddenly it was blinding. My body was made of pain where it ought to have been flesh and blood. I staggered to my knees, gasping. Amani! When I could see again, I realized Shahzad was kneeling in front of me. The way she said my name made me think it wasn't the first time. She looked scared. Two other rebels were standing over us, covering her back while she had mine. What's happening? I didn't know. I couldn't even talk for the agony. Something my aunt had cut open so carefully inside me felt like it ripped in my side. That's it. You're getting out of here. No. But Shahzad was already helping me to my feet. I tried to pull away, to stand on my own, but she kept her grip. Don't argue. Last time you got left behind, this happened. She meant the Jean and the Abdals and everything else. Demji, get out first, and that's an order from your general and your friend. Jin! She caught his attention across the chaos of the garden. He was with us in a second. Get her out of here. He didn't need to be told twice, and I was in no state to fight an order. His arms were under my knees and shoulders, lifting me off the ground. I remembered the night of Aurangzeb. Are you saying you're here to rescue me? This was how to rescue a girl. I might have laughed if everything didn't hurt so much. Shahzad covered us as he lifted me towards Iz, who was wearing the shape of a giant rock, carrying people to safety as fast as he could. Jin and I were on his back and off the ground with one powerful wingbeat, carrying us high over the rooftops of Izman. Shots punctured the night behind us. They had a clear aim without the cover of the sandstorm, but Iz dodged expertly, moving too quickly to be a target. As we rose, I could see Izman spreading out below us like a map, houses dotted with tiny pinpricks of light at the windows among dark streets. And just beyond the rambling walls and roofs was the sea, looking pink with the dawn. We were almost out of range. Even through the blinding pain, I could tell. Almost. Just a little higher. Just a little further, and we'd be out and gone, and Iz could drop me and Jin somewhere safe and go back for the others. I didn't hear the gunshot that hit us, but I felt it. In the sudden jerking motion of Iz's body as iron punctured his skin. In the scream that erupted from him. In a blur of pain, I realized they'd hit his wing. Jin's arms tightened around me. For a moment, I was back in the harem, looking out over the water with the Sultan at my side, bow drawn as I took aim for the birds. The moment my arrow went through my kill, watching it plummet to the ground, and we were falling too. Iz was fighting not to plunge us back into the camp, to carry us further away, to get us out. The Sultan couldn't capture another Demji. I could feel the iron biting into him, and the pain hobbling his injured wing. A last few frantic wing beats carried us forward, the wind grabbing at us. And then we burst free of the city, of the roofs and streets and the walls that would shatter us when we crashed. We were out over the sea, a sheer drop of a cliff face from the city into the water. We were falling. Iz's body flipped, spilling us out as he screamed in agony, frantically beating his wings. Jin's grip left my waist. I had just a moment to catch sight of the water below as I slipped from his back, plunging towards it. I didn't even feel it when the water swallowed me whole. Chapter 48. I'd never understood drowning. I was a desert girl. The sea was made of sand where I was from, and that obeyed me. This was an attack. Water invaded every part of me, rushing to swallow my body hungrily, rushing into my nose and my mouth. I was suffocating and the world was narrowed to black. Turned out I was good at drowning for a desert girl. And then I was surging out of the depths of the water. Air hit my face. Something slammed into my lungs. Light burst across my vision. It bloomed, then faded to black. And then again, pain and light racking through me, battling for my body. And then stars. Stars above me, and a mouth was on mine. I wasn't dying. This was one of Hala's illusions. Except it wasn't. Jin hovered above me. I saw the lines of his face etched in the pre-dawn light as the pain slammed into my lungs again. Burning. Burning. I was a genie's daughter. Burning was what I did. And then the stars vanished, and I was staring at the ground and the sight of bile and water spilling out across sand, expelled from my lungs as I vomited half the sea out. Even after it was all gone, I was on my hands and knees, retching violently. I felt a gentle hand on my back. "Remind me to teach you how to swim sometime." The joke sounded strained, but I laughed anyway. It turned into more coughing as I knelt, doubled over, shaking, trying to put myself back together. The shadow of Isman, set high on the cliff above, loomed over us. It was an awfully long fall. I saw the pain written across Jin's face, his hair sticking to his brow. I pushed a piece away. My heart was slowing. The chaos of the fight, of surviving. Some of the pain in my side had subsided. It was quiet and calm here on the shore as the sun rose, just for a moment. But the stars were glaring down accusation at me, and I had to let the rest of the world back in eventually. "Iz?" I asked. I didn't see a giant blue rock anywhere. He'd been hit by a bullet. He wouldn't be able to shift again with that in him.
"I'm not sure."
Jin shook his head.
"We got lucky. We fell and hit the water. Iz didn't fall with us. By the time I'd surfaced with you, I'd lost sight of him."
The water lapped innocently at our bodies, But out there, it was a churning mass that'd swallow you whole.
And the others?
Jin shook his head. I don't know. Sam got some out. I saw others fall. I lost track of Ahmed and my sister in the fighting, and then you dropped.
He sat back. He was shaking.
So this is what you didn't want me to know about.
I reached for the sand in my mind, but I could feel the stabbing sensation where my old wound was, and I stopped. I might have the iron out of my skin, but it wasn't so easy to shift back. I sank my fingers into the waterlogged sand under myself and forced my heartbeat to slow.
Ahmed is alive. It fell off my tongue easily. The truth. Shahzad is alive.
The names tumbled off my tongue one after the other. Delilah, Emin, Hala, Iz, Maz, Sam, Rahim.
Our people were still alive.
Anyone who made it out will head for the hidden house.
Jin pushed his soaked hair back off his face as he stood up, reaching down for me.
We need to get back there. It'll be safe.
Maybe not for long.
I took Jin's hand, letting him help me to my feet. I was still unsteady from how I'd stopped breathing for a bit.
It just takes one person to talk.
It was painfully slow going to get back up the cliffs to the city. As the sun worked across the sky, we waded where the water was shallow enough. Jin swam some of it with me hanging on to his shoulders until finally we found a place where the ground up to the city sloped enough to climb. The sun was high over us by then, and still we did not move quickly. Jin caught me when I stumbled, but a few times we still had to stop to rest, for me to catch my breath as the pain in my side throbbed. We finally found flat ground just outside the city walls. We were far from alone. A crush of people were fighting their way in through the gates. Someone shoved by me, jostling me back into Jin, who steadied me.
Hey.
Jin caught a man by the shoulder. The man turned, clearly spoiling for a fight. He backed down when he caught sight of Jin, who had the look of knowing how to kill a man and being half desperate, too.
What's going on?
The rebel prince,
the man said. My heart jumped at the mention of Ahmed.
The rebel prince has been captured. He's going to be executed on the palace steps.
When? I shoved forward. I couldn't keep it in anymore. The man's eyes swept me disdainfully, from my disheveled hair to my clothes dried stiff with seawater against my body. He might not want to mouth off to Jin, but I wasn't half so intimidating as my foreign prince.
Answer her,
Jin pressed.
Sundown,
the man said, shaking Jin's hand off, already pushing towards the crowd.
He's lifting the curfew for one night for it, and if you don't let me go, I'm going to miss it.
Jin and I traded a glance before our gazes went to the horizon across the sea. The sky was already darkening. Chapter 49 The Rebel Prince. When men and women on long desert roads sat around campfires where only the stars could see them, they told the tale of the Rebel Prince as best they knew it, and they told the truth as best they could, but not all of it, never all of it. When they told of his days in the harem, they never told of his brother, the foreign prince, born under the same stars. They told of the night his half-genie sister was born, but they never knew of the young woman who risked her life to take 3 children away to safety as the rebel prince's mother died.
And when they told of the Sultim trials, they left out the general's beautiful daughter who trained him and fought beside him until he was ready to face the challenge. In years to come in the